Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and we just want to get paid for playing video games. And of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, man?
Not much, man. How you doing?
You know what? I'm old.
Yes.
I'm old because you sent me a text and you said, you want to do a show? And I'm like, yeah, but I got a cough. And you and I have been fighting a cough since like December. But now my cough is apparently being caused by something in the air at my workplace. Because cool. It's one of those things like you go to work and you're fine, and by noon you can't breathe. And it takes like 4 days to get over it. And I can't say anything to my brother because we're moving in a month.
Oh, nice.
So I'm having to deal with that. That's all kinds of fun. You have a toddler, so I know it's no better over there.
Yeah, we're just sick all. I'm fortunate. This past time, it was the sexy sidekick who ended up sick and not me. We just trade back and forth. Genevieve gets sick essentially every month, and then one of us will get sick with her, and so we just kind of swap off months. So March should be when I get sick, and February was the sexy sidekick's month.
We're going to put ourselves in a bubble.
Yes.
And we're not ever going outside again.
Isn't that the truth? Even more so. We've got that in the show notes today. Yeah.
It's
gracious.
It's not good. There's a lot going on. Lots of money about to be spent. Lots of info about E3.
Yeah.
And I think we should get right into it.
That's fair. I'll mention really quick stuff on the show today. We've got news just around events happening in coronavirus, and we'll get into all that here in just a little bit, what that means in and around the gaming industry. Lots of impact there. We've also got lots of new details, and not new details. We've got lots of details about the new Xbox. Some of it new. We'll be able to talk about a better picture of what it looks like. Some rumors about the new PlayStation. We haven't got anything official from Sony yet, still kind of waiting for what that looks like. And PAX East is happening, and so even though it's not as big of a deal as it might have been without the coronavirus happening, it is still happening, and so we've got some news from that and a handful of other things if we happen to get to them.
I don't actually know if it's PAX East or if they should just call it the Baldur's Gate 3 show.
That's all we're going to talk about, yeah. But that's what I'm pumped about. So yeah, we'll talk some Baldur's Gate here in a little bit, which will be a lot of fun. So before that, though, I know you mentioned you've been playing some games, and then we just had a bit of a shared experience on my very limited gameplay, but one thing that I've played. So we should probably at least mention those things really quick. So do you want to go first with that?
I actually want to start with what you were playing this afternoon.
Fair enough.
Because I assume that is a Media Molecule title.
Yep.
You have been playing Dreams, which I have to be honest, I know very, very little about. You texted me, you said I picked this thing up, and I'm playing it, and you need to take a look. And I fired it up, and my immediate thought was, this would be totally awesome if I was high. So, Cabbage, if you're listening to this and you're up for having a little fun, why don't we bring 13-year-old Cabbage back for this one? Because I think this would be an awesome trip. I'm just saying. This game, I really like it because you and I are both music junkies and we like things that are interesting art-wise. And this ticks all of those boxes.
Yeah. Yeah. So really quickly, Dreams, we've been hearing about it for years and years now. It's finally out, finally officially released, because they did some beta thing of it too. I don't know all the details around it. Whatever. It's been the next Media Molecule thing that's similar to Little Big Planet. Has a Little Big Planet vibe in that it is very creation oriented. It's all about kind of user created experiences and all that kind of stuff. And so the only thing that we played with today was one of the developers. I don't know what they call them. I need a good name for these experiences, because not all of them are games. Because that's the thing about it, is like you can make
vignette.
That's a good word for it.
Yeah.
It could be like music things, because you can, it has like a kind of DAW workstation thing in it, which you can compose music in, all kinds of crazy stuff. And so it's Little Big Planet, like magnified to a billion. Like it's just a creative space dream. And now you and I have mentioned before many times on this show that's not our thing, and that we don't like to be the creators in that, but we love playing those creations, and so that's really fun here. So the one that that we played with, the vignette, so to speak, is called Art's Dream. Like I said, I think it's like the Media Molecule, like we're going to show off with this one. They pitch it as being like the length of a movie, and so it's about 2 hours worth of gameplay. I'm just about at the end of it, and so it's this little narrative about this dude that plays upright bass in a little jazz band, and it's like him trying to reconnect with his band, but also through these weird dreams, it kind of looks back at his childhood, and it's very, very trippy, and so you're playing, and I use that term fairly loosely here, but you're playing through, at some points very much playing traditional platformer kind of playing, other times interacting kind of point and click adventure, but you're playing through as essentially his dreams and trying to get to this gig and interacting with bandmates and all this stuff. It's just, again, bizarre and trippy. It's got this very polygonal visual style to it. It's very 3D, but it's very polygonal 3D. But it's a cool vibe. And again, it's just one thing you can do creation-wise in it. They brag about it at the beginning that the whole thing is made in the Dreams engine, that theoretically you could go in and remake this thing in the game, in the software, again, whatever you want to call that. But I have just played around with a few other experiences, vignettes, whatever. There's one that I'm really interested to see if whoever's doing it kind of keeps going with it, that he's essentially recreating Mario 64 in Dreams, and so it feels like Mario 64. Can't imagine Nintendo's too thrilled about that, but
can
whatever.
I see that, please?
Absolutely. It's kind of fascinating, and so it's one of those titles that, like, I don't know if I'm going to spend like 30 or 40 hours in it, or if I'm going to spend like 3 or 4 hours in it. But I'm going to spend some time. I mean, I've already spent some time in it. This one narrative has captivated me. It's really well done, really super well put together. And again, it being that kind of bite-sized vignette, that 2 or 3 hour experience, it's like a good thing for me where I'm at in my life now, that I can get through a story. And I could take more of those for sure.
See,
I'm really digging it.
I'm going to tell you that this is one that you're going to own, and here's why. Because it's all I like The Sims for, in that you can sit down and you can play it and you can walk away from it. And the next time you fire it up, there's something new there for you to play that you haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And so you're probably not going to put 40 hours in it, but it's one of those that will continually draw you back in, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it's one that, again, the brilliance of it, and I always talk about this as a nice kind of palate cleanser for when you get done with a big AAA title or something like that. It's nice to have a little game that you can just pick up. And it's something where you could do that, where you could just pick it up and go find an experience or two and play through them, and then go back to whatever else you want to be playing. Yeah, it's crazy. I just pulled up a video just out of curiosity. That's the top 10 best dreams games and creations you need to check out on YouTube. And there's one that's Fallout 4. That they recreated Fallout 4 in this thing, and it's fairly amazing, a fairly crazy accurate whatever. So yeah, thing's nuts. It's super powerful. Again, if you're into that kind of creative making space thing in gaming, this is going to be right up your alley. I hope it is a really, really big thing for Sony, because it's super cool.
Well, and the thing is, it's going to be a big deal for Sony, but it's more of what Media Molecule does. That's all these guys do, is these type of games. And they do it in a way that nobody else could really do. I fired this up and was sort of watching it, and immediately I said, this is a Media Molecule title. And the other thought that I had, which I asked you about when we got on here, was, is this a VR title? Because it looked like a VR title. It plays like a VR title. And I could not tell. And so that's something that you don't see every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, I looked it up because it's not currently, but they do have that in the works. It's supposed to be coming at some point, hopefully soon. It would be super cool in VR. And the idea that you could have creators making these VR creations in this that you could participate in is super exciting, because again, it's super engrossing. It feels really good already. You could do some VR stuff in there that I would imagine would be just phenomenal, and it's user created. It's that creativity of people that's going to be driving it. Again, what we loved about Little Big Planet, it's that magnified a million times. It's so deep and so complex. And yeah, it's more intimidating to me even than Little Big Planet was on a creation side, because it's so much more insane. But at the same time, it makes me so much more excited about what potentially they'll make of it. I'm watching one now that somebody recreated the first level of Metal Gear Solid in it when you're out on the docks or whatever. It's phenomenal. Just great.
Since we're all kind of in this mode, can we skip forward in the show notes to the VR? Because I think something like this ties very well into that.
Sure.
I had a couple of things that I wanted to say as far as that's concerned. Because we have new hardware coming.
Nice. Yeah, so. We've got a couple of things to mention VR-wise. And so if you're following along in the show notes, skip down a little bit. We'll come back around. But I'll mention this and we'll discuss more. But HTC has, my God, a new headset coming. That's the Vive Cosmos Elite. And so we've already, the Cosmos is kind of the next gen of HTC. The Cosmo Elite is that with some added features.
Cosmo Elite. I love it. I love it.
And the thing retails, this is the jaw dropper here. Thing retails, pre-orders are now open for $899. It's a $900 VR headset. That comes with the headset, obviously. It still uses, and this is something we can discuss because it's kind of an interesting way it's doing this. It's very much trying to be the very, very high-end VR headset. But it still uses the sensors that we know from the Vive. And it still, at this point, has the same Vive controllers, which I'm hoping they'll swap those out soon for whatever they're... they have new controllers coming, whatever it is. But the Vive controllers now feel very archaic to me after playing around with the Oculus Touch, and then the whatever the Valve controller is. All the VR stuff, man. There's so much of it out there now.
Yes.
To keep track of. So, anyway, it has the room sensor, so you still have that component to it, but it also has an external tracking faceplate that allows 360 degree tracking of the room from like that inside out kind of way of working too, like the Oculus Quest does. At least this is my understanding of it. I could be completely off base here. So my understanding is it kind of puts those together, and the idea is you get super precise tracking in your VR space with the combination of both the base stations and the kind of inside out tracking, that those work in tandem to give you full tracking. So one of the things we haven't talked about this, because I've not ever ran into it as an issue in VR, but one of the things with like the Oculus Quest with that kind of inside out tracking thing, where it's super convenient, it also has blind spots. And so there is the possibility of like your controllers getting lost in space, depending on where you position them relative to your head, where the sensors are. And so if it's like beside your head, you could put the controller in a blind spot and then your headset loses track of them. And so my understanding is this will combat this, that you essentially won't ever have any blind spots, that the VR system, the combination of those things, will always track where things are going on at. And so it's super cool. It's going to cost you $900 just for the headset. And again, if you're paying $900 for the headset, you better have a 20 whatever, you know, like the thing is when this comes out. I don't know. It's coming out pretty soon. But if they decide to up it again with video cards and whatever the highest processor is on it, you better have that PC that is decked to the nines. Because if you're paying $900 for a headset, you better be able to back it up.
So I never jump forward in the show notes, but I jumped forward today because I wanted to talk specifically about this. In that I read this story. Yes, I prepped for the show. Holy crap, the world's probably going to end.
Fair enough.
But
we'll get to that in a moment.
but here's my question to you, sir. I looked at this, I read all the stuff, and you know what my first thought was? Duff, we love you, and if one of these shows up on our door, we're not going to turn it down.
That's true.
But I don't know that I want this, and here's why.
Yep.
The reason why is because the Quest is so good. And we've talked about this before, in that it's just no hassle.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing to it. And so I don't know if I want another $900 headset in my house that you still have to deal with the sensors and all that. And all that tech's wonderful, and I'm sure it's fabulous. But even with this, VR is still not good enough to keep you in it for more than about an hour at a time.
Yeah.
So, what I'm thinking is, for that price point, if we didn't already have 200 headsets, we might pick this up. But as it stands now, we have two headsets. I have a third in my house that's not being used because you have the sensors. I don't know that we need this.
Yeah, this is, if I had a room that I could dedicate to it, right? And so I could set up the sensors and just move everything else out of the room, because that's kind of the thing too. It's like you want the space to really play for this. So if I had the PC that I could do that with, and I had the room that I could just set aside and dedicate to this thing, and I had time, which is another component here, that I could just spend with the thing, absolutely. If I win the lottery, I'll get one of these.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Like, I would not hate having one in my house. But from a practicality standpoint, yeah, you're absolutely right. The the ease of the quest, even though it's going to have fairly significantly inferior visuals than this thing does. And if you're not playing it in link mode, if you're playing it in just the kind of standalone quest mode, you're also very limited on the software, because a lot of the software that's really good out there, if you want to be like the core VR gaming world, you can't run that on the quest in standalone mode. It's just not powerful enough on its own. And so, from that standpoint, I would love to have an alternative. But because the Quest has the link mode and it works so well, even though it's still tethered and this thing is wireless, it's still just, yeah, it's so easy. It's so great. Now, one of the things about this that's kind of cool that I dig, it has like the front plate flips up, and so you could actually open it up and like see out into the real world, which is handy.
Nice.
That's one of the annoying things about headsets right now, is that like if something goes wrong on your computer and you have to take the headset off to configure stuff and put it back on and on and off and on, whatever, it's annoying. And so I like that feature. Not worth $900 though. Again, I would love to have the thing, and if I had money to do it, I would do it, but I'm not making any sacrifices in order to do this, you know, like it's not that.
So, couple of things. Please tell me that if you win the lottery that we can do this
in like, our dedicated VR room.
That's all I want to do. Just tell me if you win, we're going to start doing this full time. Because I think at this point, that hope is all that's keeping me from losing my mind at this point.
That's right.
So I hope that happens.
Yeah.
Secondly, I love VR. And again, Duff, if this ends up on our doorstep, we'll take it. And we'll even upgrade PCs. Like, you don't really have to twist our arm. But I don't know. Like, because for me, one of the things I've been thinking about since I read this story like an hour ago is, are we going to see software that actually takes advantage of it?
Sure.
Because I think there's software out there now that sort of kind of takes advantage of the higher end headsets, the vibes like we have.
Yeah.
But I'm not dying to play it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Half-Life Alyx is the thing that changes that, right? Like that's the title we've been waiting for. For VR, that's going to be, okay, we have to play. It's going to be deep. It's going to be a full-fledged, like, that's going to be the kind of test for me, really, of, like, what's the viability of VR as a hardcore gaming format versus VR as a fun, gimmicky gaming format?
Yes, exactly. That is correct, sir.
And I honestly don't know the answer. I don't know that I'm going to enjoy Half-Life Alyx. I really don't. And that's a weird thing to say, right? Like, it sounds bizarre to say that. But, it just may be too much in VR. It may just be not my thing. Because, honestly, again, the things that I've enjoyed most in VR are the kind of silly games. Beat Saber is a blast. I played some of Job Simulator, which is really fun, and it's goofy and it's silly, and you can play it for 20 minutes, and you can take it off, and you can move on. And Half-Life Alyx is going to be a completely different experience than that. I'm excited about it. I'm going to play it. I just don't know that that's what I want out of VR. Maybe they'll change my mind. You know, maybe they'll convince me that there is that side of VR too that that we really want. So
basically, you're telling me that Avery has not made a bad purchase yet.
No. Okay. Everything that I've played that Avery bought, I've dug. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've bought anything else. I think I've just played the stuff that's on there, and then obviously played stuff off my PC using Link. But I don't think I've bought anything new yet. I thought I might have, but I don't think I did. Nope, don't think I have. So, anyway.
Well, The kids got good taste.
Yes.
And it's a good thing that our uncle and his friend have money.
Yes.
Because she will spend all of it.
Yes. That's fair. I also mentioned here too that so we've already got the kind of Vive Cosmos thing happening, but HTC also has showed off its kind of next gen of what they're trying to do with VR. This is called Project Proton, which is great name. Enjoy that.
Yeah.
Which is the future of headsets is kind of how they're pitching this, which is a much sleeker, much kind of smaller form factor headset. If you go look at the Cosmos Elite, the thing's big. It's not form factor. It's not a slim form factor. These are the best way. First of all, go gamingunsensored.com and go by these show notes so you can just see this. So you don't have to take my word for what these look like. But if you're not in place to do that right now, I'll try to explain it the best I can. The best I can compare these to are kind of like skiing goggles, or like one of them's a little bit bigger, one of them's a little bit smaller, or almost like welding goggles, if you can kind of picture what, not the big like helmet welders, but the kind of quick slip-on welding goggles, if you know what I'm talking about. If not, whatever, go by gamingunsensored.com in the show notes. Look at it. Whatever. Much, much, much smaller looking, more comfortable headsets that I could see being the progression of maybe being able to stay in VR a little longer and a little longer if these things are a little bit more comfortable. There's two that they're showing off. One is a standalone unit, think the Oculus Quest, and one is a tethered unit, and you can kind of see a cable coming out the back of it, though I would imagine that they'll probably have a wireless feature too, but we'll probably have a little thing. But anyway, the one that's the standalone has kind of a pack on the back of it, so you'd slip the whole thing on with like the strap around your head and then probably tighten it down that way. But the other one is just like a pair of glasses, a big bulky pair of glasses, but like doesn't connect around in the back, like just fits over your face like glasses, kind of has blinders around the side so it immerses you, but is much, much, much smaller and sleeker and looks much more comfortable. And again, that's the trick of VR going forward. Like it exists out there. It is a thing in gaming culture and in pop culture in general at this point. But it's going to have to continue to get more comfortable, more convenient, more practical. And this seems like a good step in that direction.
When they look like a pair of glasses and all I have to do is flip it on, that's when you got me.
Yep.
Because it doesn't take me plus another person to get it on my head, which is what we're dealing with now.
Yes.
So when you get to that point, yeah, take my money. I love that this tech is out there. And I hate that we can't buy it all.
Right.
Because I want to try it all, but you can't afford to buy it all. And so, back to your point with Half-Life Alyx, the software is going to have to drive it. Like, if Alyx is good and people have to play it, then that's it. They're going to start buying VR headsets. And that's all there is to it. I mean, it's the same thing it always is. It's about the software and nothing else. You can do what you want to do with hardware, but all that really matters is the software that is on that hardware. And that determines how your hardware is actually going to do, which we're going to talk about that in a minute also. With Sony, but I think that's the key. You give us Alyx, you give us other stuff like Alyx, and you get us to the point where we're like, yeah, we don't have a choice. We don't care what it costs. Here's a kidney. We got to play that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All that said, really quickly before we jump back to the top of the show notes, big thanks to Patreon guys: Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, and Sam. Swing by gamingunsensored.com, click on Become a Patron link if you want to support us there and help us get good fun toys. Again, probably not the Vive Cosmos at this point, though. Again, we won't send it back if you send it to us. But thank you guys truly for your support. We appreciate it a ton. So
we have no idea why you're still paying us, honestly.
No, we don't. But we
love it. We appreciate it. And I can tell you, if for no other reason than my own mental health, there is some content coming. We're gonna get in a room at some point somewhere in the next couple of months, because I'm right there. I don't know about you, but it's time to take a couple of days and have some fun. So
absolutely,
that's gonna happen.
Yeah, I made a deal with myself because I was working this afternoon, and I said, okay, at, I don't remember what time it was, 2:30, whatever, I'm going to stop, and I'm just going to play some games because I just haven't done that in quite a while, you know. The little girl was taking a nap. I'm like, all right, I got this. I'm going to get some decent just me gaming time in, and we'll have that. And so I did that, and literally 10 minutes later, she wakes up. I'm like, ah, come on. But she came, I kid you not, she came and sat on my lap and just watched Dreams while I was playing it for half an hour, and that's, you know, she's two, she just turned two, had a birthday last week, and so she just turned two. Sitting and doing anything for half an hour is not really in her MO at this point, but she sat and watched it and like commentated and talked about it the whole time and was really super into it. So that was me personally, just another really enjoyable experience of playing through Dreams. So my 2-year-old daughter also got super into it. All that to say is, yes, we got to make that time to play games, because that was super fun for me today to have just a couple hours where I actually just made time to play games.
I would have loved that picture with the new addition that you made to your wardrobe. and ladies and gentlemen, I have to say, if you haven't seen it on Facebook, Tommy has got a new addition to his wardrobe, which I think is absolutely fabulous. I considered opening the show with the fact that I was sitting next to John Popper from Blues Traveler, but I did not do that. So yeah, go to Facebook, check that out. I saw the picture and I said to myself, I wonder if I could pull that off. Like, I don't look good in hats. You're always wearing a hat. You look okay in a hat. I don't look good at all. But you pulled this off quite well, and now you have me interested in it.
For context, so I mentioned the little girl had a birthday. We celebrated her birthday with the family by dressing up. We did a 20s themed birthday going out to eat kind of thing, because her birthday is in February in 2020, and so we just did this big birthday thing around that with the 20s. And so I had a hat and a tie and suspenders, which is not my normal look. I couldn't tell you the last time I wore a tie. It took me about 12 tries to tie that tie correctly, because it's been so long since I've tied a tie. That's not in my world. But the hat was kind of fun. And I feel like it's the beard that helps me pull off something like that, because I have the beard. Like, it just, like, okay, you kind of look goofy anyway. Putting the hat on just kind of ties it all together. So
The suspenders and the tie gotta go. I'm saying the hat is your new thing. Like,
I'm glad you enjoyed the hat.
If you got a signature at this point, it's probably that hat. It's a good look. because when I comment on something on Facebook, it's very rare, and it's you're doing something right if I comment, and I did.
Yeah.
So
there you go. All that said, we'll jump back into show notes and get into the how we're all gonna die, apparently, part of the show. You've likely heard, if you follow the news at all, at this point, about coronavirus and all the things that are going on with that. And
I'm starting to wonder if I have it, to be honest with you, folks. Like, it's kind of everywhere, so
yeah, everybody's about to be wondering if they have it. But it is impacting the game industry in lots of different ways, and so that's what we're going to look at this through the focus of the game industry, because that's what we do. Please don't hear us talking about this as like belittling the rest of like global pandemic concerns, because those are legitimate concerns, and we're hopeful that, that these things are going to be well taken care of and everything else. But we're talking about it right now, obviously, from specifically the viewpoint of the game industry. And so a couple of things that's affected in the game industry. Just first of all, a lot of production stuff, because a lot of production happens in China, and China's been very heavily affected, obviously, so far by the coronavirus. And so factories slowing production. I know most of the big companies had taken a hit. I saw Valve's headset, VR headset. They're going to have a much more limited supply of it than they were anticipating for release because of coronavirus. And lots of other places, Nintendo and Sony, both dealing with things and on and on. But a couple of practical things. First, big one for people like us who follow game events. GDC right now has been canceled, the Game Developers Conference that's supposed to happen in March. And so this month, when you're hearing this, we're recording this on February 29th. But this month, when you're hearing this, was supposed to be GDC. There was kind of a snowball effect of developers pulling out of it, big publishers pulling out of it. And so it was just kind of every couple of hours for a few days, there was, oh, this company's not coming, now this company's not coming, now this company's not coming. And so eventually they just kind of said, okay, if all these people aren't coming and there's legitimate fears about why we probably shouldn't have this big gathering of people, we should probably postpone it. So officially, they've canceled it with the caveat that they may try to do something in the summer if it makes sense to do something in the summer. But it's kind of a bummer because I love GDC. I think GDC is one of the more fun conferences. Fun, relatively. It's kind of one of the more boring conferences in a lot of ways, but also is a really interesting conference. And just not happening. And that feels weird.
It is my favorite educational conference.
Yes.
Like, if you and I were going to go and seriously, like, if somebody gave us money and said, okay, I want you to go to a thing and come back, bring me back something I didn't know before, GDC is where I would go.
Yeah.
That's where all the industry people are. They're talking about new stuff. They're talking about what's coming up. It's one of those conferences that if we were able, I would like to go every year.
Yeah.
Because it's that's where the interesting stuff is. You probably fall asleep in some portions of it. But yes. I think it would be extremely interesting, and part of what bothers me about this, and I was going to pose this question to you, because we are relatively the same age.
Yeah.
and I can't remember the last time something happened that it just stopped things.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, I'm just not going to travel.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm probably out of my mind. But if somebody said, here's this thing in this location, do you want to go? And even with all of this stuff going on, I'd probably say, yeah. And that probably means I'm a stupid 40-year-old kid. To see all of these people that travel all the time legitimately be afraid to go these different places because of what's going on in the world, that scares me more than some other stuff that's going on in the world. And I just wanted your two cents on that, because that's not something that we see very often.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair. It is a weird thing. Like, it's we've lived through, you mentioned we're about the same age, and so we've seen most of the same things at this point. We've seen things like Ebola, and there was a lot of kind of panic around Ebola. We saw bird flu stuff. You know, this is not the first time the kind of pandemic-ish thing has happened. This one feels different in a few ways, just because it feels much more inevitable. Ebola, like, I never felt I had any risk of contracting Ebola. This is going to be lots of places. I mean, it already is lots of places. It's going to be more places pretty soon. Luckily, it seems like it's not as dangerous as something like Ebola is. If you get it, you're probably going to be okay. But it's something that I totally understand why people want to be careful of kind of avoiding crowds. I have a flight in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be doing some travel in a couple of weeks. And I'm like, I'm not super thrilled about being in a closed tube with a bunch of other people, you know, and walking through airports.
Let's be honest. You're not normally super thrilled about that, but this doesn't help.
Yeah, no, I hate crowds. I hate being around people, which is actually kind of a bonus here because I avoid that naturally anyway, so that'll help me out. But being in an airport, you can't really get around that. Or being on an airplane, like, you're just around people. And so, yeah, it's a little bit weird. It's going to continue to be a thing. It's going to be interesting to see if it kind of levels off. There's been some reporting in China that maybe it's kind of leveling off a bit, but it's just getting started here. Like, we're just seeing the cases start to explode here, and it's just going to continue to be more and more for a while. And so it does open up the questions about upcoming events, and obviously E3 being the biggest question there. E3's already kind of down from maybe what it was going to be otherwise. I could very easily see them pulling the plug on E3 for this year if in a couple of months this thing is still just hanging out there, and if schools are getting shut down, that kind of thing, which is a really real possibility around this. I don't know, at a gaming convention where, again, you get several tens of thousands of people together in a confined space, feels like a great idea, you know? And so we'll be doing something in June. I just don't know if it's going to be covering E3.
We're definitely doing something, and to be totally honest with you folks, our dream since we started having these travel issues and having to go back and forth, me going there, you coming here, so on and so forth, is to have 3 or 4 or 5 days where we actually don't have to cover something,
yeah,
and could just create content. And that may be what E3 is this year.
Yeah.
And at this point, we have so many games to play, that's not that bad of a thing.
Yeah. I could deal with that, honestly, if that were the truth. And you know what the thing is? It's like, Nintendo's already doing a Nintendo Direct. You could still do that. You know, like, they could still turn this into a kind of newsy time that doesn't involve putting a whole bunch of people in LA, all, again, within close proximity, standing in line for hours, coughing on each other or whatever. Yeah, we can kind of find a balance between those things, hopefully. So, something to consider. One other thing I'll mention around coronavirus stuff. There's a game called Plague Inc., which has been out for several years now. It has been pulled in China because of, quote, content that is illegal in China as determined by the Cyberspace Administration of China. It is one of those things. It just is a good reminder, and also makes me really skeptical of any information that we're getting out of China, is that it's such a controlled society that they don't want people playing a game that simulates a pandemic because they're in the middle of a pandemic, or at least in the middle of potentially a breakout of a pandemic that started out of China, and they're the epicenter of that right now. And they just don't want people, like, seeing that, which is just a bizarre thing to me. Just imagine if, like, right now the United States government said, we're pulling this game, that you can't play this video game because we don't want to talk about or have the public thinking about a pandemic that is inevitably happening. Like, just boggles the mind. And it's another reason I'm thankful to live in America.
Can we say that despite all of the issues that we have, I think you and I agree with the idea that we live in the best country in the world.
100%.
You have family that lives there and has to deal with all this stuff on a daily basis.
Yep.
And is around that. And you know, you and I know enough to know that that's just the way it is. You know, the government just sort of decides, okay, yeah, you're not going to see this, and you're only going to know what we want you to know, and if we have some people locked in a building somewhere, you may or may not know that.
Yeah.
And that, to me, makes me thankful every day to live where I live. Just a quick story. My little brother does not do social media at all. He's not on Facebook, not on Twitter. He just doesn't do it. He's never seen the point. And we own an IT company. And a couple of weeks ago, I see my brother has a Facebook page. So I text him. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, we own an IT company. And I said, I think I told you that like 3 years ago. And he's like, shut up, dude. I'm doing it. So anyway, I got to hang out with him last week because he built a ramp at his house. And I can now easily get into his house. So last weekend, we spent 2 nights together. One thing he said to me was, dude, I created that profile for business, and I've been looking around at what people say and what people do on Facebook, and it's insane. He said people that I thought were normal, rational human beings are saying stuff on Facebook that I can't believe. And I kind of feel that same way. And so now it's like, when something like this happens, just to wrap this up, when something like this happens, you figure out what's important and what's not. And what I've figured out is people having the ability to run their mouths on social media about whatever is not that important. And we live in a country that allows us to do that, which I'm thankful for. But you can't take any of that seriously.
Yeah.
Because we got bigger problems.
Yeah.
So there's that. I'm glad to live where I live. I really am, and I think you are too.
Absolutely. 100%. Couldn't agree with that more. So that being said, we'll hit a couple other things really quick before we wrap up here. Big news as far as next gen stuff goes is Phil Spencer put out details about the Xbox Series X that are again probably nothing crazy shocking here, stuff that they've been talking about, but kind of the tech specs to pack it up, and maybe the one like number that everybody fixated on when seeing this comes out is around the power. And so the Xbox Series X is going to have 12 teraflops of processing power to it. Teraflops is a relatively new thing, and I still don't completely understand what we're talking about when we're talking about teraflops. But as a way of comparison, the Xbox One X right now is, I believe, 6 teraflops. The PlayStation 4 Pro is 4.5, 5, right around in there. I think the original PlayStation 4 is 2 teraflops, and so this is a kind of alternative way of calculating how much processing power the GPU has. All that to say is it's going to be a pretty powerful beast of a rig, and that's great. I think we all expected that, and that's a good thing, and we're happy about that. Did talk about some of the other things, like ray tracing. Of course, it's going to have ray tracing. That's a big buzzword right now, and we've known that for a while. Also talked about variable rate shading, which is a kind of adaptive shading method that it won't treat every pixel on the screen equally. It'll prioritize effects on things like your character models or important environmental objects. So the things that you're focused on are going to be the things that look the best. Seems to make a lot of sense. Like that idea a lot.
If it works.
But things going to be pretty beautiful. It's going to look phenomenal. And so I don't think we're going to have any problems there. I'm curious to see, again, we've been waiting for Sony to talk about what the PlayStation 5 is going to be. It's probably, I would guess, this is just me guessing at this point, I would guess it's probably not going to be quite the same technical prowess as the Xbox is, which was true of the PlayStation 4 of Xbox One. The Xbox One's a more powerful console of the two. But it's probably going to be quite comparable. And it's probably going to have all the same basic features. It's going to have ray tracing. It's going to have a solid-state drive. One of the things that Phil Spencer talks about in this is the ability to quick resume games. And that we've already talked about, that it's not going to really have loading times and all that, which we always get promised. We'll see how much that's true. But what they're talking about is that you'll actually be able to essentially save states in multiple games. And you can just pick them up at any time, and it'll instantly go to that spot in that game without having to load up the game. And so you don't have to sit through splash screens and all that kind of stuff. So you can just go into where you were in any game whenever you want to, which is kind of cool. Again, it's maybe not going to radically change my life playing games, but it's a convenient thing that's pretty cool.
It's going to give you, like, do you remember that episode of The Office where Kevin was trying to save time? And so, like, he was just saying the absolute minimum of what he had to say, which stuff like Kevin tired. Yes. Like, he was just missing words. Do you remember that? That's the equivalent of this. Yeah. Okay. Eventually, you might save a little time.
That's a wonderful analogy. I really like that. One other thing it talked about, I think this is really cool. This is getting into the kind of generational backwards compatibility thing that they're talking so much about. They're calling this smart delivery. And the idea here is that you buy software and your hardware is going to know what software you bought for what platform, essentially. And so you're going to, how they say it is, you get the right version of the game on whatever Xbox you're playing on. And this ties into something that that CD Projekt Red put out too. So this applies right now just to first party Xbox Game Studio stuff that they're saying. But CD Projekt Red already said on Twitter that if you buy Cyberpunk 2077 for Xbox One, you'll get the Xbox Series X upgrade for free whenever it's available. You don't have to rebuy the game on the new hardware. You're just going to be upgraded to the next gen. And that's wonderful. Like, that's how it should be. Like, that feels right. Like, you shouldn't have to rebuy software for different hardware. Once upon a time, I thought that made more sense. But now, like, when hardware seems so fluid, having software that kind of adapts to you. So if you buy a game on the Xbox One and then you buy an Xbox Series X, that game will upgrade with you. You'll get the benefits of the more powerful hardware version of that game, which I really, really dig. Especially because they're saying that they're not going to be putting out Series X exclusive content for a year or two. I sure as heck want that reason to still buy into the Series X if I already have an Xbox One, and my games upgrading with me would be one of those things. I hope other third parties jump in on that as well. I hope that just becomes a standard.
Again, it has to work. Like, it has to work, and it has to work well. A good example of this, and I'm going to point them out just because I saw it last night, and I thought it was cool. But Sam, our buddy Sam, is now like four steps ahead of us on the Facebook page, and he has in his possession a 2080 Ti. And you and I are some of the cheapest people on the face of the planet. And we're going, hey, we don't need that till Cyberpunk comes out. Hey, we got people. I hear people.
Yeah, she busted in.
Well, here we go. That's the show, folks.
It's just a trend now. Look, say hi.
We can get used to that. What's up, little girl? Hey, I like that. We're recording. This is going to make a great piece of production, too.
Do you want to tell him about playing video games today?
Yeah. Did you like playing the game? Uh-huh. You did. That's all you're going to say.
Hello. What is it about a live mic? You chatter all the time, and then the mic comes on, and you don't say anything.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Do you get nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Well, to be totally honest, your dad got nervous for like the first year, so I think that's normal.
to do whenever y'all were playing the game? Did you keep saying open it? Say that. Say open it.
Open it.
You are stupid cute, little girl.
Did you like the bird? Yeah. The bird's kind of scary. That's a cow. Do you like cows? You do.
This is farmer.
Yeah, you like the farmer. Her entire mouth is just on the microphone now.
I love it. It's fantastic. Kevin, segment.
Are you having fun? Yeah, just getting all those germs off the microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times.
They're good germs. They're dad germs. It's okay. It's totally cool.
Yeah. We all have the same germs at this point, so all going to get sick together.
Hey, Genevieve, go have some chips for me, will you?
You see a windmill? She really likes windmills. That's a big deal.
Oh, that's a new thing. We're having windmills now.
It's not a new thing.
Yeah, she's been into windmills for a while. It's a weird obsession. But is an obsession.
Yeah. September.
Yeah. Is that a microphone?
It's a microphone.
Yeah, it is a microphone. Very good.
I think she needs her own microphone.
I think she does too.
I think we're going to have to get her hooked up.
Yep. For sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hit it.
Yeah. That's good audio right there.
Okay.
All right. Oh, you gave him a kiss.
I love it.
Say, talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Dude, that is the most awesome thing ever.
She, like, just kicked the door open. She just busted in. So, oh, there
Kevin,
you go.
Kevin, if you did not hear me, there's some production in there somewhere.
There's something in there somewhere.
Like,
she's awfully cute.
That's a GU Boogie 4.0 right there. That's good stuff.
That would be phenomenal. So.
Hey, I got it. Here's the title: Jamie talks to a 2-year-old.
See if you can guess which one's which.
Yeah.
Really quick, we'll wrap up in just a second, but really quick, talk about a couple of things with PlayStation. Try to get back on track for just a second. The PlayStation 5, as I mentioned before, we don't have any details of it at this point. I mean, we have tons of details of, but we don't have that official announcement yet. They haven't done the big event. They haven't done any of that kind of stuff. And a couple of the things is it feels like Sony's very much just kind of sitting on it to see what Microsoft does so they know kind of how to position themselves. And price point's a big question there. But news is, this comes from Bloomberg, is that the cost of manufacturing a PlayStation 5 unit right now is around $450. And that cost might actually even go up with coronavirus stuff that's happening. Which puts them in a weird place. And we've talked about this in the past with hardware price points of what they can sell it for versus what it costs them to make it. And oftentimes consoles are sold at a loss, obviously, with the expectation that they're going to make money back in software and all that other stuff. The PlayStation 4 was sold almost at cost. It cost approximately $380 to make one. They sold it for $400. And so just a hair of profit there, potentially. Given the same thing, if this costs $450 to manufacture and they want to even just break even, if they're talking about a $450 price tag or even a $500 price tag, that feels off, right? Like, unless Microsoft comes out with a $500 price tag, it feels eerily to me like the PlayStation 3 and the huge blunder that they made around the release of that with that high price point. Unless Microsoft is right, and even if Microsoft's a $500 console, I have a hard time seeing PlayStation be viable with a $500+ hardware. Like, that feels bad.
Okay, so I theoretically agree with everything you just said, but let's back up to like 8 years ago. Like, we didn't like it, but we bought a PS3. And we spent the money. We did that. Both of us did. And at the end of it, even though we bitched and complained and whined like everybody else, the PS3 was one of the best consoles we've ever bought. Like, I got the most use out of a PS3 that I've gotten maybe out of anything, because even though I couldn't play games, it was the most awesome media box ever. So, here's my question to you. All of what you said is totally accurate. It feels icky, but how many people do you think that price point is actually going to stop from buying this thing? Because the last time they did it, it didn't stop us. We bought it and then bitched about it for 6 months.
Fair enough, but we bought it a year after the thing came out and after the price had dropped a little bit on it.
That's
right?
True.
Yeah. We didn't buy it at that initial price point, nor did a lot of other people. And Sony never caught up from that, right? Like, the Xbox 360 right. stayed ahead of Sony that entire generation because of Sony's really slow start there. I agree, the PlayStation 3 was a great console, and I love the thing, but the Xbox 360 was better and a
yes.
better price, you know? Like, It screwed Sony, and they could easily position themselves in that way again. And I don't want that to happen because I love Sony software, and that's the thing that I'm rooting for them not putting that. And to be fair, I'm rooting for Microsoft not to either. I don't want one of them to do it and the other one not to. They're both $400 consoles, because that feels like what a console should cost to me. I have a hard time imagining that if it's costing them $450 to put one together. That's a big hit to take, and so I think we're looking at expensive consoles. It's just really, if Microsoft says their console is $450, $500, Sony is going to as well. If Microsoft says that 12 teraflop beast is $400, I have a hard time seeing Sony put out a console that's more expensive. And so it's really, I think it's Microsoft driving the train here on what the PlayStation 5 price is going to be. I don't know what that is. Go ahead.
I was just going to mention, They may be driving the bus, but then they got to listen to us bitch for 8 months. Like, yeah, we got the price, but where's the software?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it may be a reverse, like back to the 360 days, like when we started this thing. And we may be Microsoft fanboys again until we figure out there's no software.
Yeah.
That said, here's something that I don't know that you've thought about, and it may be completely done as far as viability goes, but I am trying to get on the streaming bandwagon in my house. I know you're on the streaming bandwagon in your house. Y'all cut the cord a long time ago. You've got access to every service there is. My question to you is, if this is a good media box, like the PlayStation 3 was a good media box, is that enough to satisfy us for a year if we have to wait to get the PlayStation 5? Like, what's it going to take other than Microsoft coming up with killer software to satisfy us for a first year while we wait on the PS5 to come down?
Yeah. for me, it's just software. That's the only thing I use my gaming devices for, is just gaming. And to be fair, the thing is that what's changed in the past, 10 years since the Xbox 360, PS3, 10 plus years at this point, my goodness. Is that, like, you can get content anywhere, yeah. Like, it's much, much, much easier to get content.
It's on your TV now.
Yeah, it's built in. Yeah. You don't have to have a separate device in order to do that. And if you do, you can buy a Chromecast, or you can buy a Fire Stick, or you can do something like that that's low profile, that doesn't cost much money, whatever. Like, and so the functionality of that side of things, well, it needs it. Like, those boxes need to have all the different, streaming platforms and all that kind of stuff on them. It just isn't what it was, I don't think, 10 years ago when those were big, big touted things on it, just because it's so accessible now. So it really is. I mean, it really just comes down to what we've always said. It just has to be good games. And if they don't have good games, I'm not going to be there until they have good games. that are going to give me, and this is the thing that might get me on the Xbox One X, or Series X, excuse me, is that I think, I know, it's going to perform better than my PC does, right? If it has ray tracing, if it's got that capability, if it's 12 teraflops of power, it is going to be a more powerful box than my PC is. And so at this point, that might be the thing that they can get me on, even though they'll have software that I can play on my PC. If they can convince me that it's a better experience on the Series X than it would be on my PC, that might get it. That might do enough to bring me over.
Okay, so that brings up my next question. I didn't expect this to go this way, but here we go. Based on what you just said, if that turns out that way, does that mean that we're not building another box in September? Because I'm planning to build another box in September, but I also have Accessibility Controller 3.0 coming.
Yeah.
So, if the Xbox Series X is all that and is more powerful than our PCs, I can't believe we're asking this question live on the air because I'm not sure I know the answer. Are we building another box?
I don't know. That's a good question. It's a super, super fair question. I'm trying to think. It's looking ahead now, you know, of like what games I'm most anticipating, what I just really have to play. If there's anything that I would just have to play on PC that I wouldn't be able to play elsewhere and have that experience with. Obviously Cyberpunk, but Cyberpunk's going to be everywhere. And if I can get a great experience with that on the Xbox Series X, I'm assuming they're going to do the same thing with the PlayStation version of that as well, of the auto upgrade thing. Just the Series X is more out into the culture at this point. PlayStation 5's not. I don't know. It's a really, really good question that I don't have a really good answer to at this point. It's just going to be a wait and see kind of thing. And paying, even like, this is where that price point, you know, comes into play. Paying $500 on an Xbox Series X or paying $1,000 on building a new rig, $500 seems kind of nice. You know, like it's a closed system. There's a bunch of issues with that. I love my PC. But if my PC can still play the games that I want just a dedicated PC to play, things like Civilization or, you know, Two Point Hospital. So we're not going to get to a lot of releases. Two Point Hospital came out on consoles, which is fantastic, and it's getting really good reviews. But that sounds like a miserable game to play on a console. Like, I just need a mouse and keyboard for that. But most of the games, honestly, that I play on PC that I wouldn't ever play on a console aren't powerhouse games. Things that I care about being powerhouse, and I play some of those things on my PC, are also on console. And so, yeah, it's kind of at that point I'm going, well, why not just play it on console then? You know, if I've got that powerhouse console that looks better. Okay, you know, like, why do I need a PC for that? Now, VR, I think, is the wild card and all that. I feel like I'm going to want to upgrade because I'm going to want to do better VR fairly soon.
I see, that's the thing, is I think, regardless of what happens, and I am preparing this way to go through the same process that we went through last time, 3 years, almost 4 years ago. You built my rig, you built your rig, you built another rig. I think I see it coming again, whether or not these consoles are what they say they're going to be. Because I think we've got one more generation where that box is going to be important.
Yeah, I can
because
see that.
Let's take Sam, for example. The picture that he showed off was some ray tracing goodness that is mind blowing.
That was stupid.
I don't really care how good the Xbox Series X is. I think the PC will always be able to outstep it if you're willing to spend the money. Because he has, right now, as we speak, his processor is an 8-core processor, I think, which is going to be the new norm for all the software, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm wondering is, if we build this one more box, because the Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5 are going to come out. They're going to look great, and it's going to be awesome. And then 3 months after that, NVIDIA is going to come out and say, look what we got.
Absolutely.
And we're going to go, okay, we have that.
Yeah.
And so I think we're going to build one more box.
That's fair. But again, that NVIDIA card is going to probably be the cost of one of those consoles, right?
Right.
That's the caveat there, is that price discrepancy is a real deal. So that said,
hey,
I'm just...
Hey, Duff, remember what I said about the VR headset? Yeah, I meant that. But if you want to send us a new NVIDIA card, you can totally do that.
Also fair. Real quick, I'll mention that same story. There is news that Sony is also working on a next-gen PlayStation VR. So that does appear to be part of their PlayStation 5 vision as well, which I dig. I'm really excited about that. And lastly, I'll mention, just go by the show notes to see this. We unfortunately don't have time to dig into it, but it's pretty great. There is about an hour worth of Baldur's Gate gameplay that you could go watch from PAX East. That's pretty fun. It's pre-alpha. It's pretty rough around the edges, but it's enough to show you what they're doing that's really, really cool. And again, if you've like Baldur's Gate, obviously, it's going to scratch that.
If you like D&D, because let's be honest, that's what it is. It's D&D.
Yeah, if you've played Dungeons & Dragons in the past or just like that kind of mechanic, that world, this is the Dungeons & Dragons game. This is the best execution of like Dungeons & Dragons world and rules and everything else into a video game. Baldur's Gate's been that in the past, and it's still definitely that. It still has that full vibe, and it's just super cool looking. And it's coming to early access, which, to be honest with you, I don't really want to play it in early access. But it's going to be in early access this year. So if that's your thing, you'll be able to get your hands on it this year. Call me when it's done and I'll be there.
I got to be honest, before you sent this, I was watching Red Dead on YouTube. And you know how YouTube is. Like, you need to check this out. And I found this. The reason I knew this was a thing before I saw the show notes was I found this interview with this guy that looks like Sam from Game of Thrones did with the head developer guy over there at Baldur's Gate 3. And it is the most awkward interview. Did you see that thing?
Yeah.
It's horrendous. And I'm like, okay, there's that guy and then there's us. I think I'm pretty sure that we're better than that. And if we're not, we might as well just quit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm glad that you saw that. It was one of those things that it was like, okay, can I stand 3 more minutes of this? Because that dev is standing there going, okay, I got somewhere else to be, dude. Can we move this along? But I was glad to see that. It's awesome. I can't wait to play it. We still have to play Divinity 2.
Yeah.
I have like 5 hours into that, and I'm telling myself the reason I'm not playing it is because you're not there. So if guilt helps you at all, we need to play that one too.
Yeah.
So.
That's fair. 100%. So all that said, go by the show notes, gaminguncensored.com, see what we missed, including releases. There's just not a ton this week. But Two Point Hospital, like I mentioned, is out on consoles and getting 86 on Xbox One, which is pretty crazy. That's a high score for any game for Hospital Sim. That's pretty astounding. So, go check out the show notes, gaminguncensored.com.
Tommy's about to lose about 10 hours of his life to Two Point Hospital. Yeah. I'll just tell you that right now.
For sure.
We'll be talking about that the next show. which, by the way, before we wrap up, I have to say I've been yelling about Duff for the last hour and 15 minutes. Duff actually had some concerns that we were dead. he texted me and he was like, yo, you guys still okay over there?
It's fair.
And so, we're not dead, buddy. We're still here.
Yep.
Keep sending us stuff. So yeah, Duff's really excited about some stuff. And Duff is the reason I love doing this show.
Absolutely.
Because Duff's like a 4-year-old when it comes to gaming.
Yes.
And it is the coolest thing when Duff sends us an email and goes, guys, look at this. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, Outriders was the thing he just sent us. That looks super cool. Go check out the Outriders trailer because it does look really cool. But yeah, his joy and just love of video games makes me so happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
feel like jaded compared to Duff, you know? Like, he's still got it in such a pure form.
He's like, you gotta try this. Here, I'll give it to you. Here, just try it. It's the most awesome thing ever.
Yes.
And I can't wait to go spend time with that dude.
Yeah.
Because, like, if we don't have joy in our lives, he will give it back to us.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about what's coming. That guy makes it worth it. We've got Sam. We've got other guys on the Facebook page that make me laugh every day. If you guys don't know it, you are the reason why we do it. And there is no other reason than that. Thank you so much for hanging out. Thank you so much for being here. You know how to get in touch with us. You can email us, gaminguncensored@gmail.com, or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
It does work. We do have segments, yes, and we will play them, we swear.
Yes, absolutely.
Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. He's got a little girl to go see. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.